Blog Talk Radio.
6 Degrees is another fine show brought to you by Law of Attraction Radio Network. It has been discovered that we are all connected by just 6 degrees of separation. Somehow, some way, we just need to open up the dialogue to see where our connections lie. Welcome to the 6 Degrees Show with your host, Anthony Bryce.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, and good night. This is Anthony Bryce, the host of 6 Degrees. 6 Degrees is about connecting, and we are all connected. Somehow, some way, through dialogue, the essential connections are revealed. And today, for the first time on 6 Degrees, we have Pat Lynde Kyle. Pat Lynde Kyle has a broad range of interests. She's taught in the academic world, created a small business, practiced as a management consultant and executive coach, and has had her own private counseling practice. Pat's research and interest in the mind-brain field led her to develop a learning style assessment company to help children and parents understand how they learn. She has been involved in the teaching and application of personality styles to individuals and organizations for the past 25 years. Pat's current interest is exploring the exciting new brain-mind research and working with the new tools of neural monitoring to help individuals become more effective with their brain-mind potential. Pat completed an 18-month research project learning how individuals shift their mental, emotional, and spiritual view of themselves and to the world to function in a larger, more comprehensive view of reality. World, this is Pat Lynde Kyle. Pat Lynde Kyle, this is the world on 6 Degrees. How are you today?
Well, thank you, Anthony. It's nice to be with you today. I'm good. Yeah, it's a good morning, evening, afternoon.
It just really depends on where you are in the world. Pat, before we get absorbed into our dialogue, would you please let the listeners know where they can dig a little deeper into your world while they're listening to this web, this podcast?
You mean like my website?
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's www.healrewireyourbrain.com. Yeah, and they'll find all kinds of things on there, from blogs to podcasts to all kinds of different articles that have been written and about me and of me, and give them an idea of what goes on.
Wonderful. Pat, if you don't mind, could you come a little closer to your speaker?
Sure.
Now, your book, Heal Your Mind, Rewire Your Brain, it really had to have a personal story behind it. What inspired you to write it?
Gosh, Anthony, you know, it's been quite a while, but I've been a meditator since 1970, I guess. And through a variety of circumstances, I got chronic fatigue about 20 years ago. And through chronic fatigue, I began to realize that there's, in order to get well, you really have to not only deal with the quieting of the mind, but the quieting of the emotions as well. And I wrote a book called When Sleeping Beauty Wakes Up. And that was a book that I had written about how did I get well from chronic fatigue without using drugs or anything, but going through a whole process of all the different levels of healing. And from that book, I realized that I needed to go a step further. So I literally went into 6 months of silence. So I was silent for 6 months doing meditation. And in that meditation time, I dropped into an incredible state of peace and love. And I realized not a lot of people are going to sit around and be silent and go into a cave for 6 months. So how could I develop a program, a way, so people could find this place that I call home base. And so it was amazing because all of a sudden in my lap when I got out of retreat, an EEG appeared in my life, an EEG machine where I could literally put people on a machine through electrodes, and they were able to see their own brainwaves. And when they saw their own brainwaves, they were beginning to see which wave was out of balance, which wave was not in proportion to the others, in order to create a really stable, healthy mind, body as well. And as I started to see that in my own self, I began to see how the mind works in meditation and how it works in incredible stress. So that's been my counseling or my teaching in the last few years, and how it developed into the book that I wrote to let people see that there is science behind meditation and there is science behind how our mind works and our brain works and how we can be happy. It's our birthright.
That is incredible. You know, Pat, how did you know, though, that, you know, when you first put the people, attached them to the ECGs, and it's ECGs, right?
EKG.
EKG, yeah. How did you know when you attached them to the brain machines and you saw the out-of-sync waves, how did you know that those out-of-sync waves were unnatural? How did you know? Where was your baseline? How was that established?
That's great. That's a great question. There was a man named Maxwell Cade in the 70s who really said the same thing I did was, okay, so you have this brain. How do you know when you're in this spiritual state and when do you know you're in a ordinary consciousness? So he had this machine made, which now I have the updated version of it. And he began to take his machine, and he went to India and Japan and Thailand and all over to all different people that were what he considered gurus, or people that had literally woken up to this higher conscious state or a more conscious state. And what he said was that every one of those people had certain configurations of their brainwaves. And he looked at four brainwaves, which are primarily brainwaves that we utilize every day, which is beta, alpha, theta, and delta. And and what he did was he created a configuration of when they are in that proportionate of amplification of these particular brainwaves, then you have that state of mind of incredible well-being, feeling of love, feeling of incredible peace, and definitely out of stress. So I use that as my baseline, Anthony. That was a great question.
Well, thank you. I like to understand things simplistically, Pat, so the audience can as well. So you correlated the higher consciousness wave patterns just really with everyday people, and in that way you were able to see the disharmonies.
Absolutely.
Okay.
The disharmonies, and then really dysfunction, and it really manifests in behavior, people's behavior, from the way the brainwaves are functioning.
Wow, that's incredible. Heal your mind, rewiring your brain it's about applying this science, and it really is a new science of brain synchrony. Is that what you call it, brain synchrony?
When you're able to quiet the beta brain, open up the alpha, and really begin to feel your emotions in theta, you will drop down into delta, which opens up a synchrony or a rhythm. It opens up the rhythm in connection with all the different brainwaves and puts it into what is called synchrony. It's called balance. The Buddha called it equanimity. And when that happens, then you're not that engaged in the world out here, that you lose your entire being into it. You have a sense of awareness, a sense of consciousness. And you want that because it will keep you from being so stressful and create dis-ease.
You know, Pat, you know, you made mention, or you said you can't lose yourself. Honestly, it seems as if when people are in this state of being, and they more or less find themselves because they see that they are that which they are observing. So can you talk about that a bit?
Yeah, it's my favorite subject. So when you're in this ordinary consciousness, which we're on right now, we're talking and about it, when you drop just a little lower, and I mean relax the brainwaves, so the brainwaves are not going so fast, they begin to slow down a little bit. It's kind of like when you have a little glass of wine and you begin to slow down just a little bit and you get into alpha, which is calm. Then you're able to experience what's called the observer. You're able to begin to observe things rather than being right in it.
Your work, Pat, is so, so very genuine and so very real, and honestly, I feel as if your work helps others to discover their genuine and authentic selves.
Thank you. Yeah, that's really true. Because when you can sit back and observe the world instead of just enmeshing yourself into it, then you begin to start becoming conscious. And when you're conscious, you have a choice. It's not that the world is telling you what to do and you become a victim or you have self-pity. You begin to choose the thoughts that you want to have, choose really the emotions that you want to have. It is just a whole different way of being in the world.
In life, there are no magic pills or quick formulas. Nothing outside of you can make your life different or better than it is, except you. The Law of Attraction Radio Network proudly presents the University of Attraction, where the curriculum and faculty members have but one purpose, to assist you in remembering your own power in which to step into the life of your dreams. We teach you to live your life with passion and enthusiasm. Live from a place of choice and power. Live in love, from love, and surrounded by love. Be an expression of perfect health. Trust that the infinite intelligence has your back. Know that you already have all the answers. And know that prosperity and abundance are your birthright. The pre-launch for the university is Tuesday, 1/11/11, when you can sign up for online and interactive classes from leading-edge experts and world-class teachers such as Dr. Sereni Pillay, M.D., Derek Rydell, Pat Lynn Kyle, and many, many more, including some of your favorite talk show hosts. And every Wednesday evening, we energize our intentions and place them in the powerful Red Jewel Box for manifestation. As part of your monthly student membership of $11.11 per month, you have free access to every single class, and you will receive powerful hypnosis and meditation recordings every month, along with free ebooks and access to many powerful videos. Now is the time to become our powerful selves in 2011. Visit loaradionetwork.com to get more information on the University of Attraction. That's loaradionetwork.com.
This is Pat Lynn Kyle, And I'll be teaching a class at the University of Attraction. And I will be teaching why science is now saying you can teach an old dog new tricks. It's because our minds and our brains are plastic, and they can be rewired to anything you want. If you want happiness, if you want success, it is yours. In this class, I will teach you about the brain frequencies that will literally rewire your brain. Join me, and I will be with you at the University of Attraction.
Personally, you know, I feel that when babies are born into the world, they are perfection manifest. And over time, we're tarnished, so to speak. So how does this, what is this process? My question is, what's wrong with our minds and why do we need to heal them?
Well, you know, I agree with you. When we're born, there is, and we're born into the brainwave of Delta. And when we're born, there is a completeness like you talked about. Then there is some kind of, and every single one of us has primal catastrophe. Every one of us has had some kind of separation, you know, just separates this sense of completion to connection. And when that happens, we develop what we call the ego. And I think one of the easiest ways to be able to describe the formation of the ego is through something called the Enneagram. And I talk about this in the book. The Enneagram is creates 9 enneotypes. And these types of personalities you will find in each one of us, because we carry all of them, but we have one that we're more like than any other. So they go from 1 to 9. They're called the Enneagram. And if people are not aware on your program or not the Enneagram, they can go to what's called the Enneagram Institute and take a test and be able to find out their own Enneagram. And they can do it on my website as well. And with that, they begin to say, this is the character, this is the ego. This is the ego personality that I'm walking around in. And literally, this personality is not who I really am. It's not who I really am. And by beginning to get so understanding about that Enneagram type, you begin to become more into that witness or that observer or that place of awareness.
Well, that's a great tool, and I appreciate you bringing this to the audience. It's under the resources tab on healrewireyourbrain.com. Healrewireyourbrain.com. Under the resources tab, you go to the Enneagram, and there you have it. You'll find out where you are. You know, either just have fun with it. Thank you, Pat. Let me, if you don't mind. There's, you mentioned creativity, you mentioned peace. There's one aspect of this meditation, however, that really I feel is most important, which is presence. Can you talk about presence?
Sure. Well, remember when we talked about the beta brainwaves, and they're just frequencies that we all carry. But they keep us talking about the past. They talk about the future. They help us strategize our life. They help us be able to make decisions. And they keep us in language, the beta brain waves. Now, if you relax just a little bit and move into alpha, and again, that's a slower brain wave, alpha doesn't really have that kind of language. It's more in pictures. It's starting to have feelings. And it has all our sensations. It's in the area of the thalamus in the brain. It's the area in the thalamus that is the relay station for all our sensations. So when we are aware of what we're seeing, what we're hearing, what our touch is, what we smell, what we taste, we are here in the now. So you're sitting in the chair, you're feeling your feet on the floor, your legs are on your chair, you know, the thighs are resting on the seat of the chair, and your back is on the back of the chair. And the more you're aware of those sensations, you are right here, right now. That's presence. You cannot get into your observer unless you are in the present moment right now. And you can't become conscious of your thoughts, of your emotions, of your feelings, unless you're in this state, this frequency. And my book comes with a CD that has six tracks, and each track has a different frequency. So I have a beta frequency, an alpha frequency, a couple of thetas, and a delta, so that you can do meditations to get into these frequencies by just following my voice on the CD. And if they go to the website, www.healrewireyourbrain.com, they can literally download a free CD, or the very first track of the CD. And I am currently doing a research project with professional women, and they have been doing my meditations for 2 months, and I spent last week interviewing them all to see where they were. And in 2 months, doing these exercises of meditations for 2 months, they are literally changing your life. They're changing their lives in the way of reacting to the world. You see, our reaction to different things in the world creates stress. Not only does it create stress, it creates a real contraction in the body, which affects our daily health. And so we need to begin to start breaking this stress, because it's building. It seems like there's so much stress in the world these days. We need tools in which to literally train the mind to be able to not react to everything that comes up. It doesn't have enough hormones to produce reaction, and pretty soon it goes into an illness. So I really recommend people to get the CD.
It really is important. excuse me, Pat. It reminds me, quite a few of my associates and just people that I interact with on a daily basis just don't see the value in meditation, Pat. And I kind of refer them to just basic hygiene. You know, don't you brush your teeth? You know, don't you eat every day? You know,
nice.
Then, you know, if you don't brush your teeth, I mean, I just can't conceive of it. I mean, can you not? And they say, well, no, I can't. And I said, well, then why? How is it that you don't take the time to really clean your mind?
Well, yeah, that's really good. That's really good, because in my past life, I was a dental hygienist. So you used the right analogy, Anthony. I think the reason why it's difficult to turn your attention from the outside world to the inside world is the brain is wired for danger. It has a center in it called the amygdala, and the amygdala is on guard all the time, and it's wiring all the time into fear, into survival. And so if I get my attention off that world outside and turn it inside, something may happen to me. Something physically may happen to me. They're not conscious of those thoughts. But that's one of the reasons why it's important to take a class. It's important to read some books. So the ego, or that place of, oh my gosh, what's going to happen to me? I've got to protect myself, starts to drop a little bit. And so my first CD is just saying, okay, relax the body. How simple is that? Just relax your body. And it's been said that if you touch each place in your body every day with your mind, your body will stay healthy. A lot of people, when you say, you know, relax your ankles, they cannot find their ankles in their mind's eye. They're so disassociated with their bodies. And so it's that, just relaxing. Even doing that once a day would just change people's lives.
Pat, this is really incredible. This show, 6 Degrees, really, I pride myself in bringing the listeners information that's really grounded in some sort of truth or science or really sometimes just plain old facts. Not that that's absolutely necessary sometimes, because I know true advancement takes leaps of faith. So, but I'm encouraged to hear that your work really and honestly is grounded in science. You mentioned earlier about the, I don't know if I'm saying it right, the Enneagram.
The Enneagram.
Enneagram, yes. And say it again.
The Enneagram.
Enneagram.
It's E-N-N-E-A-G-R-A-M, Enneagram.
Okay. Well, you mentioned about how that helps you to find your personality type. So why is it so important to really know your personality type before you, when you're trying to rewire your brain or go down this path?
Or even become more aware of your life.
Yes.
There was years ago in probably 1920-something, there was a man named Phineas Gage who was working on the railroad. He was a railroad worker, and one of the rails actually hit his forehead and went through his brain, right in the very front part of his forehead. And amazingly enough, they were able to pull that out, and he was fine. It healed, and it seemed like he was fine, except he became a different person. And what happened was, he was a very lovely man. He was a family man. The kid, you know, he was good to his kids and his wife and good worker. He turned the opposite. He ended up in bars. He was just had a foul mouth. And he ended up a very sick man without a family. Now they said, what went on here? And what they realized that is in your forehead lies your personality. Your personality really does not exist. Your personality, your personality are thoughts, sensations, emotions, perceptions, and consciousness. That's your personality. So to put weight on this is who I am is not real. In fact, thoughts come and go. Emotions, they move around. Perception, I mean, your sensations, you know, you see it, you don't see it, you feel it, you don't feel it. It's all very impermanent. And so what you're looking for is something that isn't your personality. If you're really looking for truth, love, happiness, and peace of mind. It isn't from this outside world. It isn't from our personality. So that's why it's so important to really look at this personality that we have and become that you get it so well that you can let it go. It doesn't drive you. It doesn't hold you. I guess I can say that. In my book, I give examples of the different types. Like, for example, this Enneagram 1, that Enneatype, is the kind of person that wants things to be perfect and they want to fix the world. 2 is a caregiver. This person will give care to everybody out in the world but themselves. And 3 is the big achiever. You know, he's got a goal, he's going to make it, he's going to be a CEO of the company, he's going to work efficiency, and he wants to be recognized. 4 is a very unique person, a person that's very individualistic, highly creative, and is this deep emotional well. I mean, the emotions, they can feel the emotions. The thing of it is, they are so creative and so individualistic, they feel like they're not enough. Five is the one who investigates details of things, and they investigate it in books. They're the ones who go in their house and they've got a library that you won't believe, and they've read everything and they know everything. They're but that kind of personality literally separates them from the world. They're a very inner person into their books and thoughts and knowledge. Six is a loyal person, very kind, but they need a lot of security. They need direction. They need to feel safe. They need to feel very secure in this world. The seven is a person that wants to have fun. They like adventure. They want to be happy, and they usually are. I mean, they're a happy person, and they keep going, and they're, you know, they burn themselves out, and they do that to avoid pain. They don't want to feel whatever that pain was in their life. The eight is a challenger. Usually the CEO of every company is an eight. They're a challenger, they're forceful, they've got a lot of energy, and they stand strong for justice. Now the final one is the nine, and the nine is the peacemaker and the mediator. And they avoid conflict because they're so good at mediating different conflicting things. And so this is the thread that runs between these personalities. It goes in such depth. It's a brilliant work, really. And it came through every religion. It's been in every single religion throughout the ages. And it's recently come through the Sufis, and it came in through Chile, and then through the Jesuits in the Catholic Church. So that's a little story of the Enneagram.
And it truly is ancient wisdom that's applicable throughout eternity, like the sunrise and the sunset and the beauties and butterflies and rainbows. It's the Enneagram. It's just a great, great tool. I have to ask you.
I was getting a degree at a university, Catholic University in Portland, Oregon, and that's how I was introduced. The nun had each of us take a test in her class, and that was my introduction to the Enneagram.
You know, I have to admit myself, my initial journey of self-discovery and consciousness began as well with the Enneagram. I didn't even know how to say it. I didn't know what it was, other than it was a cool-looking symbol with a triangle. But the more I read about it, I was 17 at the time, and Gurdjieff and Uspensky, The Fourth Way, was what started me down the path. And especially what intrigued me, Pat, was the part of man as a machine, and we have the different centers, you know, the emotional center, the moving center, the intellectual center, and the instinctive center. And when I found out that you know, you have an emotional aspect to your intellect, it just kind of, anyway, it's, and you know, it's represented in cards, you know, just our regular playing cards, like the queen, you know. Anyway, let's not get too deviated. Just listeners, please go to the website and find out what is your personality type, because from that foundation, it's very, very important to know how to grow and where to go. So.
Hello, I'm Melody Green from the Creative Soul Cafe. I can't wait to share with you my new workshop, The Soul's Journey. It's interactive, hands-on, and runs for 12 weeks at the University of Attraction. With discussion groups and weekly modules to download, we'll explore the hidden codes in your DNA and use my new tool, the Emotional Bagua, to help create your success. If you're ready to follow your passionate life purpose, claim your place at The Soul's Journey. Subscribe now.
Pat, are you with me?
I am.
Can you please give us what value is created from all of this? You know, truly, what why would anybody want to go out and walk this path that you're offering them?
Anthony, I believe everybody wants to be happy. I think that we eat sugar like crazy because we want to feel good. We want to trigger that dopamine. Drugs are rampant these days. And it's all to quiet the emotional mind so you don't feel pain, or to make you feel good. It's one or the other, the down and up. And I believe that people believe that the drugs will do it, or the sugar or whatever, the foods will do it, but they don't see that it's inside themselves all the time. And the only way I have found is one way is through, of course, music begins to, and dance, and the other way is just to quiet and have a quiet time and directing your attention inward. I talk in my book about four functions that are in the brain, that are in this front area of the brain called the prefrontal cortex. This is the evolutionary part of our brain. No other animal has this part of the brain, just us folks. And the four functions that I see are very important is, one, create an intention in your life, because no other animal can create an intention. An intention could be, I'm just going to relax my mind every day at 9 o'clock in the morning. Set that intention and the brain will say, okay, that's sent. We're going to do it. You need to create an intention. And then the next thing, which is the most important thing, it's also created in this part of the brain, the prefrontal lobe, and that's attention. Where do you place your attention? It's where you place your attention is who you are. If you create your attention in, for example, I'm working with a woman right now who has put her attention on injustice. All things, it seems like injustice all over the world. So she has worked with battered women. She's worked with animals saved. She's worked with, and now she's getting a divorce. And all the injustices that she's been trying to create and heal in the world, everything is coming back to haunt her because she's put all the idea that everything is unjust. So her world is totally unjust. She's going through a horrendous time. So to change that value of where you put your attention is incredible. Once you do that, the brain will rewire. So the next area that I look at is awareness. How aware are you of every moment in your life? Where, when you step back into that place of observation, and then receptivity, accepting everything as it is. Those four things, not only when you do them, those functions, they literally rewire the brain. And in the chapter that I have on theta brainwaves and GABA, which is another neurotransmitter that helps you produce these waves, there's a process that I called face it, embrace it, and erase it. And in order to change something, if you want to change self-pity, if you want to get out of fears about something, you want to get hating another person, is you have to face the situation, and then you have to embrace it using all the sensations in your body, your emotions, and your thoughts, because those are the ways we put things into memory, put them into memory in the hippocampus area of the brain. And then once you do that, you can begin to erase it because you've held it, you haven't pushed it away, and it literally begins to dissolve because it's literally impermanent. It just will slide away. And then I encourage people to really tap it out, to use the emotional freedom technique that you can find on your website, which I think is an incredible piece of work. Yep, tapping. That's right. So it's a process using the brain and using the physical tapping into the meridians of your body. I've seen incredible results. I've seen people change from rape, being a rape victim. I've seen people that couldn't stutter, stop stuttering. I mean, I worked with a lot of different people. And it started because my husband almost drowned in a river that we have near our house. And we started using this technique to get rid of the pain in his body. And as we used that and tapped and did the face it and brace it, the pain was dissolved. So I know it works. And it's a part of every kind of therapy, really.
Well, you know, there's so many, many modalities out there and so many paths and so many, I mean, just so much out there for people to pick and choose from. You know, I'm just going to have to play the devil's advocate straight up. What makes yours so very, what makes yours work any different from anyone else's?
One of the reasons I think it does work is because you're using all the factors of what, all the factors that are put into memory. So in order to memorize something, you have to be able to see it or hear it or write it kinesthetically or smell it or taste it. It's also run by an emotion. If you're fearful, you can't put things into memory. But if you're calm, you can. So it's also emotions. Thoughts also are a part of putting things into memory. If you say you can't do it, you won't be able to do it. So if you say it's a possibility and I'm open to opportunities, it will open up. So I'm using thoughts, sensations, emotions in order to heal an old pain that you have.
Well, that really does make sense. So when people are working with you, they're able to put into practice what you're teaching them, utilizing all of their senses. So what about smell?
You know, some people can't smell things, but, you know, if you remember, like I went to a dance class this morning and somebody had perfume on. Boy, I really remember that dance class because I kept smelling that perfume. Generally, people don't put perfume on when they go to dance class. But I remember the dance and the smell very well because my sensation was really heightened through smell today.
Well, the reason why I mentioned smell, Pat, was does your work incorporate any aspect, you know, because you had all the other senses. I didn't hear smell in there. Do you utilize smell as a modality?
When people will go into the alpha meditation on my CD, they will be asked to experience all the sensations, and smell is one of them.
Oh, well, great. Well, thank you. While you were speaking, if you don't mind, I have a personal request for information because it's like really kind of. I'm just gonna ask you. Pineal, pineal. Is that how you say it?
The pineal gland.
Yeah, I mean that one has like really intrigued me because for some reason it's, you know, I've only been going down this path of discovery now since I was 17 years old, and just recently, over the last few years doing these shows, a lot of other, I guess you can say, ancient wisdom or esoteric knowledge or whatever you want to call it has been coming. But the pineal gland seems to hold some sort of key, does it?
You know, I haven't done a lot of research on the pineal gland.
Hmm.
So I can't, I know it's talked about as being the third eye. As far as I know, I haven't really read much research on that. So I'm not a good person to ask.
Well, that's fine. I'm just going to have a show dedicated to it. I'll find a world expert on it. So if you know anybody, send them my way. What about the opposite of science, spirituality? What are the spiritual implications of your work, Pat?
In my opinion, when you move out of beta, which is the thinking brain, when you start moving into alpha, you start opening up into the spiritual realm because you start becoming conscious. For me, consciousness is spirituality.
Okay. That's pretty simple. In your book, a lot of us feel like the wheels in our brains really never stop turning. You know, there are a million things that we're thinking about at once. How can people learn, really, how can they learn to focus their thoughts, and what are the benefits of doing so? I know we've been talking about it, but if you could really be a very specific so the doubters out there will let go and embrace meditation.
That's a function of attention. And a lot of people have attention deficit these days because if you watch any television, your mind becomes so scattered with 1 minute this commercial and then another commercial. So they're not using the mind, which the attention function, to be able to focus on one thing. And we need that in order to quiet the mind. See, when you quiet your mind, you heal the mind. And when you heal the mind, you start releasing emotions that are driving it. Emotions such as anger and fear and hatred and guilt and tension. All those emotions make the mind incredibly scattered. And the idea of healing the mind is to quiet the mind.
It really is that simple, Pat. I really appreciate your work because it's personally, I'm one of the types of, I'm from the school of thought that you really cannot separate self from the world around you. Therefore, your thoughts have a direct effect on the world around you, kind of like fish in water. You know, fish can't jump out of water, and they're very much so affected by them, by the water around them, and probably don't even know they're swimming in it. That being said, how does your work, or how can your work affect change in our world?
Well, if you're not so scattered, the mind isn't so scattered, and your mind becomes calm, there's not going to be the tension between people because there's going to be an acceptance. And most of what's going on right now are people that don't accept another person, and they get angry at them, and they want to change them, and they want to make them different. When you come from the place of observer, you are in the world but not of it, which is what Jesus said. And when you're in that place, you're beginning to literally wake up. And if more people do that, there'll be less confrontation in this world. And I see it as incredibly important. Certainly, the key thing to know is when you die, you do not die with all these things, certainly not your M-Wave and your computer and your iPhone and all these things, your house or your children. You leave in a state of consciousness. And it depends on, in this world, how you build that consciousness. You only can do that by going inside, in my opinion.
So, I mean, this is huge. So what you're saying, correct me if I'm wrong, what you're saying, there's no more task or no endeavor more important than to really cultivate consciousness, pure, unadulterated, authentic consciousness whilst you're living. Is that what you're telling me, Pat?
Yeah, and I'm saying, absolutely. And it's true. I mean, I haven't just seen people die. They don't take anything with them, do they? Leave their body. Nothing else, folks. It's their consciousness. And it's not that you sit on the pillow and meditate. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about day to day with your eyes open, doing your life, and knowing what in the world you're doing. and beginning to be not in your head thinking about what should go in the future and the past, but having a sense of presence, like you said before, that presence being here right now. So we're moving out of beta, and we're starting to move into alpha, and then move into theta and delta. But the first step is to move into alpha. Yes, it would be wonderful to live in alpha all the time, and then go back into that beta brainwave when you need to make a plane reservation or go to the shopping, go to grocery shopping or make dinner, and then, go back into that alpha state. You know, there was research done once on pilots that were flying these, you know, there were new planes, and so they had to really study and begin to understand a bigger plane than they were used to flying. And the plane flew around the world. And so they had a group of pilots, they trained them, and then they got them in the plane. And when the pilots came back, there were some pilots that absolutely burned out and said they would never fly that plane again. It was too complex, it was too difficult. And there were other pilots that it wasn't a problem at all, and they enjoyed it. And they really began to do research on them, and they found that the pilots that actually were able to continue flying that plane would literally go into alpha a lot. They would close their eyes, they would relax their bodies, or they would stay with their eyes open, and they would be here in present tense. And when they did that, they relaxed their bodies enough to get them into homeostasis or into balance so that they stayed healthy. So what I'm teaching is for people, they don't have to stay in that beta stress state. There are other levels of dimensions of frequencies within you that if you are able to practice it, to train your mind to know when you're in that state of mind and when you're not, it will change your lives. And I think my CDs are a real training wheel to do that.
There still are quite a few people that I know personally that just don't really like to quote unquote meditate. They feel that their life work or sitting down and enjoying a good cup of coffee is a great quote unquote meditation. Is there really some set of does it have to be structured is what I'm asking, Pat? I mean, can you get into the different brainwave states just through being present? I mean, it's kind of like, you know, you mentioned earlier doing it, and I don't know if people really do anything, Pat, you know, especially when they're authentic. They're more in a state of beingness.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree that you're in these states all the time. What I'm saying is to become conscious of them. And you need to be able to train, just like you can take a walk or you can go to the club or something and do and work out. I'm saying, why don't we work our mind out so that it has more ability to function more clearly, more creatively, more attentively, without so much distraction, tense, and unhappiness. That's all I'm talking about. And it's everyone's choice. It's absolutely everyone's choice.
And isn't that the truth? It is absolutely about choice and choice in the moment and how we choose to react to the events that are manifesting around us in every breathing moment is where the consciousness lies. Pat, you know, we can talk all night long. I absolutely enjoy you and your work. What is next in your life? What's going on? We only have a few minutes left.
Well, I'm doing this research project, which I feel is very important because it will really validate again this particular formation. So it's getting that. I also am up here at conferences. I'm going to be at Kropala in March. I'll be in a conference in Orlando, Florida, coming in July, and I'll be doing a lot of different teleconferences. So it's, again, a big year for me.
Oh, well, thank you so very, very much. You know, just very quickly, you made mention earlier about your past life being a dental hygienist. you know, I know you're a brilliant, brilliant woman. How in the world did you figure that out?
Figure what out?
That you were a dental hygienist in the past life.
Oh, well, that was quite a few years ago, and that's, you know, that's what I did. I went to dental school and became a dental hygienist years ago. I went to USC, and from that, I taught it and then, you know, did all kinds of things.
I thought you literally meant a past life, and I was trying to correlate that to your work. I'm like, how in the world do you know about past lives?
Oh, no, no, no. I mean, I was saying that in a funny little way, that I did that when I was young.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much for clarifying that.
Yeah.
Well, thank you again for coming on to 6 Degrees, and would you please, please leave the audience with some parting wisdom?
Well, Anthony, you brought up so many good aspects of my work, and I would say the most important thing is for people to be able to find a place inside of themselves that is a place of home base, a refuge, and not make the world outside yourself your refuge, because the refuge inside is just loaded with love. And the witness or the observer is love. And love is stronger than any hate, any fear, any concern they have for their life. Love heals. So I recommend this work so highly because it's a wonderful way to find it. Thank you. Thank you so much, Anthony.
You're so very, very welcome. And listeners, please, again, go to HealRewireYourBrain.com. That is HealRewireYourBrain.com. Go to the Resources tab, do an assessment, and begin your journey.
They can go to Amazon, too, and get the book, or they can get it from my website.
Thank you so very much, and have a great, great evening or night, wherever you are in the world.
Thanks for joining us. We'll be back again next week with another great show of 6 Degrees. You are listening to your daily dose of well-being and inspiration on Law of Attraction Radio Network at loaradionetwork.com.